Tonight's year is titled Megillas Esther, the Four Most Beautiful Women. So tonight, we're going to look at a Gemara in Gemara Megillah on Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. And the Gemara, I thought, was an interesting Gemara. It makes reference to Esther, but it's not really essentially about Megillas Esther, but it's a fascinating Agadata. And I came across it. I just wanted to understand what the significance and the importance of this Gemara is. So if we look in source number one, it's the main source. There's two parts to this Gemara, and it starts as follows. It's Tes Vav Amud Aleph. It's a Tanu Rabbanan. So our rabbis taught, Arba Nashim Yefifios Hayu Ba'olam. There were four women that were most beautiful, extraordinarily beautiful, in the history of the world, the existence of the world. And who were they? Sarah was number one. Abigail, who was one of David's wives. Rachav, which is from the story of Yehoshua. And the last one is Esther. So the Gemara starts off by introducing us to this category of the four most beautiful women. And again, there's Sarah, Abigail, Rachav, and Esther. And then the Gemara goes on and says, Laman de Amar Esther Yerakarokias Haisa, Mefik Esther Uma'il Vashti. And according to the one who holds that Esther had a greenish tint, so take out Esther and put in Vashti. So the first Gemara is an interesting Gemara, and the Gemara just describes four possible women who are the most beautiful, extraordinarily beautiful women. And the question is, was Esther one of them or Vashti? So there's one Shita in the Gemara that holds that Esther had a greenish hue. And if, according to that opinion, Esther would not be included in one of the women that are extraordinarily beautiful, and instead Vashti takes her place. And then the second Gemara, which follows, is kind of similar. It says, Tanu Rabbanan, Rachav Bishma Zinsa. So the Gemara says that anybody who heard the name Rachav would be driven to znus, driven to lewd behavior. Ya'el Bikola. When a man heard Ya'el's voice, Ya'el from the story of Devorah, also Avigail Bezchirasa, if anybody remembered Avigail, they would also be drawn to Znus. Michal Bashaul Bariyasa, and Michal Bashaul, if anybody saw her, they would be drawn into lust. And the Gemara continues, Amar of Yitzcha Kula Omer Rachav Rachav Miad Nikre. So the Gemara says, anybody who says the name Rachav twice will immediately have an omission. And it's a strange thing. The Gemara continues, Amar le Rav Nachman, Ana Amina Rachav Rachav, lo ichbasli. So Rav Nachman tried to test this theory out, and he said Rachav Rachav, but he said nothing happened to me. So Amar le, Kika imna biyoda uvamakira. So Rav Yitzchak answered, oh, if you knew her, if you knew Rachav and you recognized her, then you would be Nikre. You would have this omission, this seminal omission. So look in source number two. The Rashi says, Bishma Zinsa, Hamaskir Shema Nigra Archar Taiva Znus. So anybody who hears the name Rachav will be drawn into lust, into the Znus, into the lust of Znus. And Nikre is Roe Keri. They'll see an omission. So that's a strange Gemara, two Gemaras. One is, the first Gemara describes the most beautiful women. And then the second Gemara is a little bit different, and it talks about various women, four different women, that if you hear them, or if you hear their voice, or if you think about them, there's all these associations that draw men into lust. And the strangest thing is the end with the Rachav Rachav, that anyone who would hear her name, so she was so, I guess the lust was so powerful that if you heard the name, it would cause a man to have a seminal mission, which is what the translation calls it. So the question is, what's the purpose of these two Gemaras? You know, what is the category in the first Gemara of the four most beautiful women, and the category in the second Gemara of the women that that draw men into lust? So I want to try to at least start with the first Gemara and try to explain why the Gemara finds this significant and what we can learn from this piece. So the first Gemara, again, is just describing the four most beautiful women. And as I said before, there's a machlokas whether Esther is included or Vashti. So if you look in source number three, just to start it off, there's a famous Gemara about Esther. And it says in Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, it says, Rav Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Amar, Esther Yerak Rokes Haisa, V'chut Shel Chesed Mashach Aleha. So the Gemara explains, why was Esther called Hadassah? Because she had a greenish tint to her skin, olive color. Some people want to say olive because it sounds more gentle, but she had a greenish hue. But she had a chut shel chesed. There was a string of kindness that was surrounding her. And Rashi, on that Gemara, in source number 4, explains, Yirak rukes haisa ke hadassah zu. Just like the hadas, the willow has this greenish color, so too Esther was green. So the only reason why she appeared the way she did to everybody was because she had this charm to her. And Hashem bestowed her, gave her this charm, this chut shel chesed, this kindness. And because of that, all the other nations were attracted to her. They weren't attracted to her because she was a beautiful physical specimen, according to this opinion. But they were attracted to her because of the fact that she was charming and she had a charm to her, a chut shel chesed, she had a kindness to her that was attractive. So there's an aspect of her personality that was attractive, but in terms of her physical, you know, her physical nature, she wasn't the most beautiful. Fine, so it's machlokas Esther versus Vashti, but the question is, who cares? Like, what's the purpose of this Gemara? Again, what is it trying to teach us about beauty and about the beauty of these women? So one other point before we get into some of the details, there's an interesting Tosfos on this also. Look in source number 5. So Tosfos explains that there's another woman that should be included in this list. He says, in Arba Nashim Yififios Hayu Ba'olam. So the Gemara says, Kasha Amai Lo Chashiv Chava. So why isn't Chava included in this list? De Ha'amrinan Beperek Cheskas Abatim. So in Bava Basra it says, Sara Lifnei Chava Kekof Bifnei Adam. So the Gemara says that Sara before Chava is like a monkey before people, before humans. V'yesh lomar delo chashiv el osan hanoldos me'isha. So his answer is that the Gemara is only listing those who are born from humans, whereas Chava was created by Hashem directly from Adam. So it's funny. So Toso says that there's a Gemara that explains that Chava was more beautiful than anybody, and even Sarah, who's considered one of the most beautiful women, in the face of Chava is like a monkey, basically, in terms of the beauty, if you compare their beauty. So his answer is that our Gemara is dealing with human creation, and Chava was a different type of creature. She was a creature of God, a creation, a direct creation of God. So the Tosfos explains that that's a different idea. The idea of Chava is that her beauty was a direct reflection of Hashem as the creator of the universe. And when Hashem created Chava, he created the perfect human specimen physically. And that's the idea of Chava, and that's recognized in Chava. So it's important that, you know, in approaching this, it's not just about pure physical beauty, because Chava would be the purest of the, in terms of physical perfection, Chava would be on the highest level, and that's what Tosfos is explaining. But rather, this Gemara is dealing with human beauty, and beauty that's the result of genetics, and the result, there might be some hashgacha, but it's not the result of a direct creation of Hashem. So I think those are two interesting points. One is that Esther really might not have had an innate beauty, and it was rather her personality. And the other is that Chava had this perfect physical specimen because she was a direct creation of Hashem. So I think those are interesting points. But again, the purpose of the shiur is to try to explain our Gemara. What's the value of teaching us about these four individuals? So the Marsha in source number 6, if anybody has any possibilities, just stop me at any point. It's fine. Just cut me off. But if you look at source number 6, also the other thing that's strange, and the Marsha explains, he says, Arba Nashim Yififios Hayuba Olam Sara Lav Mikra Yalefla. There's no pasuk that they learn this from. Dechsibuhu Shayu Yifos Yafos, where it says that they were particularly beautiful. Debarachel V'od Bishar Nashim Matsinu Kiyotzubahem Yifas Torah Yifas Mare. In fact, there are other examples in the Torah where it says other women were beautiful. And by Rachav, it never says in the Torah or in Yoshua, it never says that Rachav was beautiful. Ella Kabbalah Hayalahem. This was a Mesorah. This was a tradition. There was no one like these four women in terms of their physical beauty. So why does the Gemara say Yififios? They were extraordinarily beautiful. Lashon kafal. It's a double lashon. Hayofi shehuchfulu biyofi. They're doubled up in beauty. Velo chashiv chava, and then he says what Tosa says. Chava is not included in mishum de lo chashiv eladalid hanoladim isha. Only four that were born from other females. Kamash kasov hatosvos. Veremez bezeh yififius mibne adam. Dahenu hanoldos mibne adam. Yatzos chava minaklaush lo nolda mibne adam. Okay. So what's interesting is the Marsha says that there's no real pasuk or psukim. The psukim mentioned that these women were beautiful, but there's no real open psukim that teach us that these four women were extraordinarily beautiful. So they learned this out. This was a Mesorah. There was a Mesorah that these four women were particularly beautiful. So again, the question is, what's the connection between these four women? And what is the idea that the Torah is trying to teach us about their beauty and the nature of their beauty? Okay, so is there any, before we start or move on, is there any, I'm going to give this shiur a little differently. Normally I hold off to give one big svara, but I think we'll go through each case and I'll show you that there is a connection and there's one svara, I think, that unites each one of these examples. But before we move forward, is there anything or is there any aspect about these four women that would seem to be connected to one another? Sara, Avigal, Rachav, and perhaps Esther or Vashti. So that's how I wanted to approach this, because there's not really many mefarshim on it. So I try to look for a connection between these four women and then tie it into the idea of their beauty that the Gemara is trying to highlight. Okay, so that's the question. So I look through the Gemara.
I just had a couple of questions. I'm not interested, but for Sarah, would you consider like what Avram says? You know, I see you're a beautiful woman as like a reference, or they don't consider this?
The part when it says in the psukim that Avraham recognized her beauty by part, but when he went down to Mitzrayim, they don't mention that, but it's a good point.
I don't know, another question off the topic, but like when they say it's green, like why would they say green? Because it's like not human.
I don't know. I mean, why did it pick green? They're learning it from Hadassah because her name, because Hadassah is willow. So the willow is the most noticeable feature of it is that it's green. So it's color. So that's what they're learning it out from. But why? Yeah, that's what they're learning it out from. But why was she greener?
Yeah. Because it's not. It seems like they're just making it up.
It seems what? It's a little bizarre. It's a little strange that Hashem, that she has this green hue. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly. But I think the main idea there is that she wasn't physically beautiful. She had there was something about her personality that drew everybody to her. And then she had a uniqueness to her. There's a uniqueness to her and a unique person, an exotic person with a personality, a certain type of personality has a certain attraction. Could be universally attractive too. But the question I wanted to start with is what's the connection between these four women? So I saw one theme in the four women, and maybe that ties back to what the Gemara is trying to lead us to. So if you look in source number 7, this Gemara that we're starting with, the main source in our shir, is really a continuation of a Gemara before. And even though it's a new piece, it's really tied to the Gemara before, and it starts in source number 7. It's Megillah Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph. It says, Sheva Nevius Ma Ninhu. So the Gemara explains that there were 7 female prophetess in Torah. And who were they? Sarah, Miriam, Devorah, Chana, Avigail, and Chulda, the Esther. So those are the 7. Sarah, Miriam, Devorah, Chana, Avigail, Chulda, the Esther. Sarah. So where do we know that Sarah was a Navi? Navia. Dichsiv, Avi, Milka, V'Avi, Yiska. In describing her, it says Haran was the father of Milka and the father of Yiska. The Amar of Yitzchak, Yiska, Zusara. Yiska is a reference to Sarah. The Lama Nikra Shema Yiska, why was her name called Yiska? She's Sachsa Beruach HaKodesh, because she saw with Ruach HaKodesh. Shenamar, Kol Asher Tomar Elecha Sarah Shema Bekola. We see by Avraham, and Avraham was trying to figure out whether she should listen to Sarah and kicking out Hagar. Hashem says, you know, listen to her because she really has a greater understanding. She's on a higher level. I think the Mefarshim there say that Sarah was on a higher level. So we see from there that she had a Ruach HaKodesh. She had some type of, she was a prophet. And then the Gemara says, Dover Acher, Yiska Shakol Sochin Beyofya. The other possibility is, why does the Torah call her Yiska? Because everybody who all gazed upon her beauty. Everyone saw her beauty and was drawn into her beauty. So we see in the Gemara a source for Sarah's beauty, and we saw it in the Torah, like you mentioned on the phone line. We saw it in the Torah as well when Avram says to Sarah, "Now I know that you're beautiful," and he hides her in the box. So we see that she was very beautiful. But what is the relevance of her beauty? Where was her beauty most important, integral? So the answer is, I think, it's based on ideas that I've heard in the past. The answer is in source number 8. So if you look in source number 8, it says, Vayikach Avram es Sarai ishto veslup en achiv es kol rechusham asher achashu ves hanefesh asher asu vecharan vayitzu valeches arta kanan vayavo arta kanan. So when Avram was leaving and going to Eretz Yisrael, it says that he took all of his rechusham, all of his property, and all of the nefesh, the souls that he made in Haran. And he went to Eretz Canaan. And if you look at Rashi over there, what does it mean, Asher Asu b'Haran, the souls that he made in Haran? Sheikh Nisan Tachas Kanfei Ashkina. So Avraham and Sarah, they were teaching Torah, they were teaching ideas about Hashem. Avraham Megayer Es Hanashem, b'Sarah Megayer Es Hanashem. So Avraham would convert the men, and Sarah would convert the women. Umale aleyam akasav kilu asa'um. It's as if they made these individuals because they taught them the ideas, the proper idea of Hashem. And therefore, it's as if they made them. It's as if they gave him life. So I want to say that, and we'll go through the different ideas or the different examples, but perhaps the Gemara is alluding to the beauty of each one of these individuals. And the beauty that it's referring to is the beauty of leadership, the beauty that's tied to leadership. Because we see that Sarah, one of her main roles was to be an influencer, to influence the people. And we see this by Haran. By the way, it's a little staticky on the phone line, so if you have your mute buttons off, it would be great if you could turn the mute buttons on just for this year. All right, so just back to the point. So Sarah was really beautiful. And the idea that the Gemara is saying is that all who gazed upon her, all gazed upon her because of her beauty. And where was her beauty really essential? Her beauty was essential in terms of her role as a leader and her role as a an influencer in terms of bringing people into the Kanfei Ashkina, Tachas Kanfei Ashkina. So one idea we see, and we see by all these people and all these examples, is that all these women had leadership roles. Sarah's leadership role was vis-a-vis Avraham and starting this nation. Avigail's leadership role was that she was one of David's wives, so she was really a queen. Rachav, we'll see in the Psukim and the Medrash. And Esther and Vashti, of course, were both queens. So we see that the Gemara explains that these women were beautiful, but they're also using women that had a role as a leader, as a particularly important leader in the development of a nation, in the development of a country. And all these women possessed the same leadership roles or the same roles as leaders. So the beauty here is somehow tied. I want to say the beauty that the Gemara is referring to is a beauty that's tied to the beauty of leadership. And when a leader is beautiful, a beautiful woman is a leader, people are influenced by that beauty. And that beauty can have a positive influence or a negative influence. So we see that Sarah's beauty was such that people were drawn to her. People, as the Gemara says, Hakol Sochin Biyofya, people were drawn to her beauty. So the first idea is that concept, that Sarah possessed a beauty of leadership, a beauty of almost a regal beauty, like a queen, where everyone looks at her and they gaze at her beauty. And because they see this beautiful specimen, they're influenced by it. And she could have the type of influence of being this leader who started this nation. And we see that that played out in terms of Haran. And the same is the case by Avigail. So what's the story of Avigail? So first of all, I didn't bring this in the Psukim, but if you look in Shmuel, hold on, I have it in front of me. If you look at Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chafei, the Tanakh says openly that she was very beautiful. It says in Pasuk Gimel, V'shema ish naval, v'shem ishto Avigail, v'aisha tovas sechel v'yifas toar, v'ish kasha v'ra malalim behu chalibi. So the Torah says that she had good sense and she was beautiful form. And so the story of her is that of Abigail, I don't know if people are familiar, is that she was married to this guy Naval, and Naval was this evil guy. And David, who protected Naval, asked Naval to help him and his soldiers and to give him food and clothing. And Nuvel refused. And Dovid was so angry that he went to go kill Nuvel. And Abigail comes out and try and saves her husband and saves Dovid from committing a big avera. So if you look in source number 10, it says as follows. It's the story. It's in Megillah, Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. It says, how do we know that Abigail was a Neviah, that she was a prophetess? It says, Dichsiv, V'ayahi Rucheves Al-Chamor, V'yaredes B'seser Ahar. It says in the Pasuk that when Dovid was going to kill her husband, she went down on her donkey down the mountain, and it says B'seser Ahar, the covert mountain. So what does that mean, B'seser Ahar? Why does it say B'seser in secret? Minahar mi ba'ilei, the Torah should just say, from the mountain, Amar Rabba bar Shmuel al iske dam habal min ha-sitarim. So she was asking, she basically brought David a nida shaila. And it says, Natla dam that her asala. So she showed David dam, nida, and she showed it to him to paskin on it, to give a psak, is this mutter asar? Weird story, right? So it says, Amar la, David said back to Avigail, V'chimar in dam balayla, are you supposed to paskin on dam, on a nida at nighttime? You're not supposed to. So Amr lo, so she said back to him, V'chidanin dine nefashos balayla, are you supposed to be done? You're not, the court was not allowed to judge capital punishment at night. So she says, just like you're not allowed to judge nida at night, you can't look at amara at night, so too, you know, you can't judge nefashos at night. You're not allowed to kill my husband. So she stopped him. So Amr lo, so he said, Morid b'malchusu. David said, Nuvel deserves to die because he was rebelling against the king, and I'm the king. Shmuel had already anointed David as the future king. I don't have to judge him. He's deserving of death. So Amr lo, Abigail said back to David, Adain Shaul Kayam. Shaul is still alive. V'lo yatza tivacha b'olam. Your seal has not been expressed in the world. So Abigail is making an argument to David to prevent him from killing Nuvel. Amar la, and David recognized this. Baruch ubaruch tameich uvrucha at asher chlasani hayom azeh mevo bedamim. So he says, thank you to Abigail, and you're blessed for stopping me from causing these bloody incidents. So the Gemara says, damim tarti mashma. The Gemara says damim, which sounds like two types of dam, not just killing Nuvel, which would also be bloody, but what else? Ela melamed shegilsa eshuka. Abigail showed David her thigh. The halach laora shalosh parsaos, and David was so lusted after her that he went through, it says, like, it's as if he went through fire for three parsaos, which is a distance. Amar lo hashmili, and he said to her, be with me. Amar lo, so she said, lo tia zos lecha lepuka, this should not be a stumbling block. Zos mechal deika acharisi. So she knew that David would eventually fall into a stomach block with the same type of incident. Umay nihu maisa de Basheva, and that was the story of Basheva. Umaskana hachihava, and that's what happened. So we see that Abigail was a neviah because she saw the future. She saw that David would eventually be caused to stumble in a similar type of situation that he was in with her in trying to kill Nuvel, and she was able to stop David from killing her husband. And what ends up happening in the story is that Nuvel dies on his own, and David ends up taking Abigail as his wife. So we see again that Abigail had a leadership position, and she was able to influence. She was able to use her beauty to influence others and to have an influence on others. So again, the Gemara is alluding to two women, Sarah and Abigail, whose beauty was not just like they were models. And they were the types of people that could go down the runway in modeling clothing. But their beauty was associated with the ability to lead. And it's a very important quality. And it has a significant influence on the followers and the people that are underneath you. In terms of your physical attributes can have a very positive influence on as a leader and an influence on others. And then, what's the story of Rachav? We'll just do the next two, and then we'll just bring everything together. What's the story of Rachav? So, if you look in source number 11, it just says, Vayishlach Yoshua ben Nun men Ashitim shnayim anashim raglim cheresh lemor lechu ruas aretz vesiricho vayelchu vayavo beis isha zona ushma Rachav vayishkivu shama. So, Yoshua sent out two spies to check out Yericho. Vayomer, and they went to Rachav's house, and she was a prostitute. And they slept there. Vayomer lemelech Yericho lemor, hinei anashim bo, hena halayla, b'bnei Yisrael, lach boris aretz. And the king of Yericho heard about this. Vayishlach melech yirucho al rachav lemor hotzian hashem abayim elayach asher bo leviseich kilach boris kol aretz bo. And they said to her, take the men out that have come to hide from you, and they're coming to spy on us. Vatikacha isha shnei anashim batitzpino vatomru kein bo elay anashim leidati mi'ayin hema. So she took these men and she hid them, and she said, I don't know where they went. So Rachav, in the story, I'm just bringing down the psukim to just remind everybody of the story, but Rachav was really, she lived in Yericho, and she was a prostitute, and she hid the spies that Yehoshua sent into Yericho. And the Radak says, at the end of the story, the Jewish people and the spies promised to save her for her deeds. And in source number 12, it says, Hechya Yehoshua, that Yehoshua allowed her to live and saved Rachav and her family because of what she had done. And the Radak says, Shetziva lishmor la hashvua shenishbu la hamalachim kemosh amar rak Rachav hazona. So he kept the promise to Rachav, v'yish lefarish od hechya shenasan lehem michya mamon onachla. So another possibility is hechya means that Yehoshua gave money and land to Rachav's family, b'mashi yichyu. V'zeu she'amar v'teisha v'kerav Yisrael. She lived amongst Yisrael. V'zeu aper shanachon. And then he says, v'yish bo drash. There's a drasha, medrash, ki Yehoshua lakach Rachav le'isha. That Yehoshua took Rachav as his wife. V'zeu hechya. This is what it means that he allowed her to live. Ki kevan shirosh Yehoshua lakach Rachav le'isha. Nidbeku bevesavia migdoli Yisrael. Ve'afa pishakasu b'shvua b'sheva umos l'tischatin bam. Amru ki Rachav uvesavia nachrim hayu ba'aretz. They weren't natives of the land. So he was allowed to marry her. And he gave her life. He changed the nature of her family and her reputation when she married Yehoshua. But what do we see about Rachav? We see that Rachav also was in a leadership position. She was married to Yehoshua. Yehoshua was the leader of Klal Yisrael. And Rachav became his wife. So we see that the beauty of Rachav was a beauty that was attached to a position of leadership. And the idea is that when that beauty is really expressed, it really functions along with leadership to really have an influence on the people, a positive influence on the people or a negative influence on the people. And the last examples are Esther and Vashti. So of course, we see by Esther in source number 13 that Esther was very beautiful. It says, in source number 13, Pasuk Tes. Vatitav anara b'ina vatisa chesed lefanav. Vayivahel es tamrukev es manosel laseis lov. Eish sheva naros haruyos laseis lomi b'es hamelech. Vayishanev es naroset letov b'es hanashim. So of course, Esther was known for her beauty. And she was chosen by Ahasuerus to be queen because of her beauty. And that was the Pasuk is referring to when she was taken. And she was brought into the house where she was prepared for Ahasuerus, so they all knew that and they all recognized her beauty. But again, we see by Esther as well that Esther's beauty was the beauty of leadership. And the last example is Vashti. And even though Vashti was a Rasha, it says in source number 14, Lahavias Vashti Amalka Lifnei Amelech Becheser Malchus Laharos Amim Vasarim Es Yofya Kitovas Marahi. So again, Vashti was, Ahasuerus wanted to parade Vashti around because of her beauty and wanted to show her off to all of his friends. But Vashti was a queen, and she had this beauty of leadership, a beauty of leadership. So what's the purpose of the Gemara? So the purpose of the Gemara, I believe, is that it's trying to express that there's different types of beauty. But one type of beauty, as I said before, is a beauty that's used for, that's associated and attached and connected to leadership. And whenever a person has a perspective of a woman in a position of leadership, like a queen, so when that queen has a beauty, it allows them to have a certain type of influence on their followers, on the people that on other people. We see that by Esther, that Esther's beauty was such that she was regal in her beauty and she was able to influence Ahasuerus and kill Haman ultimately. We see that by Sarah, that Sarah's beauty was such that she was able to convert others and she was able to start the nation with Avraham, and her beauty played a role in her leadership. We see this by Rachav, in the sense that Rachav became Yehoshua's wife. We don't see any particular examples. And we see this by Abigail, that Abigail became the wife of David because she exemplified the idea of her beauty affecting or being of value to her leadership qualities, to her leadership position. So the Gemara is alluding to a physical beauty, but it's alluding to it in terms of its value vis-a-vis leadership. So the Torah is saying, and the Gemara is saying, that these women possessed the utmost qualities of beauty vis-a-vis leadership and vis-a-vis the value and the quality of leadership, and it's expressed in the fact that all these women were leaders. So that's really what I wanted to say for the first Gemara. But the second Gemara, and look in source number 15. In source number 15, it says, Vayikra Adam Shem Ishto Chava Ki Hi Hayisa Im Kol Chai. So even though we said before in Tosos that really Chava's beauty was different quality, because Chava was a direct reflection of God's creation, so she was a perfect physical specimen, she also possessed the beauty of leadership, as we mentioned before, because we see that Adam calls Chava Chava because she's the Eim Kol Chai, she's the mother of all humanity. So we see that Chava was the ultimate leader. So Chava was really the prime example of beauty, not just in the physical, purely physical sense, but beauty in the sense of value and a value to a leadership quality or to a leadership position. So that's what I think. That's why I think there's a Chava Mina in Tosos, a possibility that Chava should be included. The possibility is because the Gemara is not just alluding to beauty as a model, as a physical quality, but it's alluding to beauty as connected with the ability to influence others and the ability to teach others and to have a positive influence or effect, or a negative in the sense of Vashti, but to affect others in a position of authority. And that's what all these examples are. But then there's another type of beauty, and that's the second type of beauty, and that's the beauty of lust. And that's really a beauty that really elicits a lustful reaction on the part of man. And that's the second Gemara. And the second Gemara is saying that these women, these four women, really possess a different quality of beauty. And that's why they're not identical. See, the first Gemara says, who are the most beautiful? And it says Sarah, Rachav, Abigail, and Esther. But the second Gemara, it says different women. It says Rachav, and it's talking about a different idea. It says Rachav, Bishma, Zinsa, Ya'el, Bekola, Abigail, Bishirasa, Micha, Bashal, Beruyasa. So there's two ideas of beauty. And if we look in the Marasha in source number 16, we'll see what he explains. He says, Rachav Bishma Zinsa, Gam Ilu Divrei Kabbalah. So this too is also Misora, Biyadam. Venira, the Yesh Ktas Remez Bahem. There is a slight hint to them. Bikra, in the Psukim, Rachav Bishma, Medichsiv Ba Isha Zona Ushma Rachav. So the Torah says that they stayed by a woman who was a prostitute, a harlot, and her name was Rachav. So that's an allusion to the fact that just hearing her name would elicit lust on the part of a man. The Ya'el Bekola Dichsiv Ba Vatomrei Lav Sura Adoni Sura. So Ya'el had this beautiful voice, and Shayude Dibura Bekola Tiboa Sisra Liznus. That's what caused Sisra to have znus with Ya'el. I don't know. They don't teach you this part in elementary school, but Ya'el, she really had Bia, she had relations with Sisra to try to tire him out. It says, Bein Ragler Kara Shachav. The Gemara explains that Ya'el had relations with Sisra many times in order that he be silent and be tired, and then she killed him. Kimefurish b'maseches Nazir. V'Avigail b'schirasa. And just mentioning or remembering Avigail, Kimashikasov Le'el v'zachart es amascha, you'll remember your maidservant. She says that to David, and David ends up marrying her after the story. Shekivna bo shayidez chirasa yisa'ena. She wanted David to remember her, to remember the lust that he felt for her, to marry her. Umichal b'riyasa. And Michal b'asha'ul with her sight. Tichsib ba umichal b'asha'ul nishkufa ba'arachalon. Uvasar hachiksiv v'yashav David levarech espeso. David came back. Vateitze Michal likraso. Michal went out to greet David. The Torah implies that she didn't want to leave. She didn't want men to see her. She was very tsanua. So the Torah alludes to the idea that Michal was particularly beautiful and that anyone who would see her would be drawn to her. But the Gemara is alluding to two types of beauty. So it's teaching us two types of beauty when it comes to women, at least. Or at least this is the Gemara's perception. There's one type of beauty that's a regal beauty, a beauty that you associate, that man associates in his mind with a quality of leadership and authority. And then there's another type of beauty, which is a beauty of lust, a beauty that man hears or even associates with. And that's what the Gemara is teaching us, that it wasn't just even a relationship with these women, but even just associations with these women brought on a lustful feeling. So there's also beauty of lust. And And the Gemara is alluding to the idea that these women used these qualities, they were aware of their beauty, and they used these qualities, except for Vashti, all the other women in these stories used these qualities for their benefit. And they showed or demonstrated a perfection with these qualities. You know, all of the leaders in the first Gemara demonstrated that they were utilizing this idea of beauty as leaders to the, you know, to their, for perfection, for perfective purposes in terms of their influence. And the same thing in the end, you see by Yael that Yael drew Sisera in, and we see by Rachav, and we see also by Michal, all these women, despite the fact that they were physically beautiful, were able to utilize it for the advantage and the perfection of Torah, except for Vashti. She's the only outlier. But the rest of them were able to use it for their advantage. So the Gemara is, I think, trying to allude to two types, two qualities of beauty in women. One is a regal beauty, a beauty of leadership, and the other is a beauty of lust. And we see that two individuals had both. Abigail had both, and Rachav had both qualities. But some women have certain qualities, other women have other qualities. But the Gemara is trying to highlight that these qualities that a woman possesses, they could be utilized for, really, they could be utilized for a tremendous benefit. And in all these situations, other than the situation of Vashti, they really were utilized having a tremendous effect. So that's the end of the shiur. So let me just summarize. So just summarize the shiur. Really, the Gemara that we took up was an interesting Gemara in Megillah, in my opinion. And the Gemara explains that there are four very beautiful, most beautiful women. And they are Sarah, Abigail, Rachav, and Esther, and perhaps Vashti. And the second Gemara talks about how if you were reminded or heard the voice of certain Yael, or if you saw Michal, if you remembered Abigail and you heard the name of Rachav, that it would draw you in terms of your lust. So the question was, what's the purpose of the Gemara? What's the Gemara trying to teach us? So we start with the first Gemara. And the first Gemara, the question is, what's the connection between all these women? So is it just the fact that they're described as beautiful? It can't be, because we see the Marsha explains that there are other examples in Torah where women are described as beautiful. So how do we know, or what idea of beauty is the Gemara referring to? So that's where I wanted to give this possibility that they were all in positions of authority. And Sarah was the founder of the nation of Torah, of Judaism. And Abigail was David's wife. Rachav was Yoshua's wife, according to the Medrash. And we see that Esther and of course, Vashti were queens. So we see that they all possessed leadership, but their beauty was an aspect of their leadership, and it was a value to their leadership. And there's a certain type of beauty that women possess that really are of value to their ability to be authoritative and their ability to influence those who are underneath them and who are beneath them in terms of malchus or in terms of starting a nation. And then the second type of beauty is really, the Gemara is alluding to a different type of beauty, a beauty that draws man in through lust. And it's a lustful type of beauty. And that's a different quality of beauty. And we see that because the Gemara doesn't have the identical people in both Gemaras. It doesn't say the same four women. So it sounds like the Gemara is teaching us that there are two aspects of beauty that exist that women possess. And they're both, in both situations, the women other than Vashti used their beauty to their advantage, and they weren't obsessed with the beauty for beauty's sake, but they used it to their advantage. And we see that by Abigail and Rachav and Sarah, and of course even by lust, we see that all these perfected women that are brought into the Gemara, they all used this aspect of their beauty for the for perfection. Yael used it to destroy Sisera, and we see this by Rachav. Rachav used it in order to trick Yericho, Melch Yericho. And they all used these qualities or these aspects of their beauty for perfection, for the good. So I think that's what the Gemara is trying to teach us. The Gemara is trying to highlight different aspects and qualities of beauty that exist within women and how they could potentially be used for the good and for the benefit of mankind. All right, so that's the shiur tonight. Any questions, particular questions? All right, thank you. Everyone have a good Shabbos. Thank you.